an interesting insert in the bulletin this morning. I don't know if you've opened your bulletin yet or not. It's kind of interesting to look at there. Anything out of place? I'm sure that'll be real interesting for us. The two hymns from this morning. I have to ask my wife what the hymn numbers are because I don't, or look in the back. But 334 was, oh, that was the second one. 354. Let's see. What a friend we have in Jesus. This morning we're going to, I think I touched on hope a little bit a few weeks back, but we're going to look a little bit more at hope this morning, the whole idea of hope. And I don't know, I just kind of thought it was kind of fitting. Well, and even, I'm sure, you know, the Lord choreographs all this before we even realize it, but even with our anniversary being today, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, sometimes when we're married, we look to our spouses to kind of, I don't know, meet all of our needs and stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, God made for man a woman because man needed a help meet. I keep reminding my wife of that. I need a lot of help. I need a lot of help. But sometimes, you know, we can't, another person can't do what God only can do. Another friend, our spouses, you know, God is the one that's got to fill us up. His Spirit's got to work in us. And it just seemed so fitting, these two verses, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And I was singing, as we were singing that, about how when we forget about the Lord and what He really is, needs to be for us day by day, we can lose hope. You know, we really can. When we forget that He, well, He knows all of our needs, even before we know them, and He can meet them when we yield to Him. And then the last line of verse 2, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, so often we bear burdens and struggles we don't need to, because we don't allow the Lord to meet those. And then, be thou my vision. I mean, I thought about this in relation to hope. I mean, you know, all kinds of thoughts going through my head, you know, about hope and about being married for 18 years and just and then this right here, you know, the picture in the bulletin, you know, is there anything out of place? That I'm sure that's going to be a blessing. But when the Lord stops being our vision, that's when we get in trouble. You know, in our marriages, in our churches, you know, when we lose hope, when other things become our vision. You know, it looks like here in the picture, you know, the guy in the middle there, it looks like his vision became money. And then the couple there on the couch, they're not, have you guys seen? Kind of funny. I mean, look, you can just almost imagine what the guy is thinking. He's just, and then the woman there, she's like, is he, you know, anyway, we could, it'd kind of be an interesting thing. We could put a little bubble around there, you know, like they do in comics, and they put the thoughts in the bubble, you know. It'd be kind of interesting to, or maybe it wouldn't be interesting. Have each one of us fill one out and fill the guy's bubble in and the lady's bubble in. Of course, we might not want others to know what we were thinking that they might be thinking, but the main point is we are going to fail each other. Hopefully it happens less and less. I'm not saying that that's always the case. But there's always hope. There's always hope. And when we look to the Lord to meet all of our needs, when he's our vision, you know, when we take everything to him in prayer, you know, we can maintain hope and joy and peace and everything we need. Everything we need. We have everything we need in him as long as we yield ourselves, excuse me, to him. But let's start with prayer. Let's have prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love and your long-suffering, your mercy, your grace in our lives, Lord. And we do praise you for just the privilege it is to be able to gather here this morning. And we do, Father, acknowledge that when we lose our vision, when we try to substitute something else in your place in our lives, Lord, we do. We lose hope. We need to be moment by moment in your word, and moment by moment allowing the Spirit to just remind us of what we need to be reminded of, and Father, just truly walking according to your word, and Lord, knowing that we can have hope and just continue on in the joy that we need to have the strength we need. But we do just ask, Lord, that you lead, guide, and direct in your word this morning, and Father, that we would just be thankful for this church and for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the whole idea of hope, whenever we're in any kind of a situation, you know, where we've lost hope, you know, I think of like students at school. I think of guys out at the sheriff's camp. It's easy to get distracted. I mean, it is. I mean, there is. And another thing, we went to Mackinac City, and we walked through the shops up there. And one of the things in the shops is, you know, you just pick your shirt or sweatshirt or whatever out, and you can pick any design that they have there, and they'll put it on the shirt for you. And when you don't have any children, you sometimes have a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of notice things. And I could not believe some of the things that you could put on shirts. I mean, just talking about drugs and alcohol and immorality. I mean, just to see it there in the store was just terrible. But then actually somebody putting that on a shirt and actually wearing that around, you know, and it just, it kind of, you know, and then after Thursday night at the sheriff's camp and the guy out there, you know, just talking about his life, and it's a lot more, I believe it's a lot more wicked than we know about, and it's a lot more wicked than we care to know about. It's not good. It's not good. You know, and everybody's worried about the oil, which we should be, you know, pouring into the Gulf of Mexico, but you know what? Just like that is destroying and ruining. I mean, it's going to ruin plant life and animal life and tourism, you know, if it gets, is it on shore any place yet? Does anybody know? Is it like getting to the beaches and stuff? A little bit. Oh, tourism would be destroyed. But, you know, just like that oil is a contaminant, that is exactly what comes through the music and the movies and the television. And that's way more destructive to America than oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm not saying leave it alone. Obviously, they need to take care of it. But, boy, everybody's up in arms over that. But people don't care, excuse me, about the morality problem that that we have. Excuse me. Let's turn in our Bibles here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But in spite of all that, we weren't totally sure, but while we were there in Mackinac City, we were in a shop looking at a coat, you know, and some of the shop owners are really aggressive, you know, especially when there's only five people in the store. and some of them are a little bit more laid back. We was in one store, and the guy come over, and, you know, he told us this, how it worked and everything. And then we were just kind of looking around, and a guy walks in. He grabbed a coat, and he just walked out. And we're like, I was thinking to myself, did he bring one back in and then take another one, like he was exchanging sizes or whatever? But Lynn was pretty convinced that the guy just stole it and took off. Just walks in, you know, and we don't see that around here too much, but it's just another example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 8. Actually, we're going to start a little bit before that. We're going to start in verse 4. In verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope, excuse me, of salvation. So much of, and I'm sure that, you know, we're gonna hear all about these little pictures here. And I don't know what preacher's going to talk about, but I do know it's already got my interest stirred up just by these looking at these pictures. The look on the couple it would be kind of interesting to just put a little bubble up there and have people fill in what they thought they were thinking. But we have to be sober, and it kind of goes back to what we talked about in a few weeks past about how we've got to have the right meditations in our minds. You know, because sometimes as husbands and wives or whatever other relationship we have, we're looking to our spouse to, like, fill us up, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean they don't help us, because obviously we need a helper. God wouldn't have made a helpmeet for man if he didn't need a helper. And all of us all of us guys that are halfway with it realize we need a helper. We need a helper. It doesn't... I need a helper just to make sure I'm seeing everything clearly around me sometimes. Because, you know, every one of us have, like, our own prescription glasses, that how we see the world and others sometimes through. Sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it isn't. But we need a helper. But so much of that is being sober, that we so that we'll have hope, that we clearly see the situation, that we're sober-minded. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation, because we have to have our thoughts and our goals and everything about us be interpreted through the fact that we're going to be saved someday from our flesh. We're going to be saved from the presence of sin. You know, right now we can be saved from the penalty of sin, and I'm trusting everybody here has been, because they've repented and trusted Christ to be their Savior, and we can be saved from the power of sin day by day. But that's where the soberness comes in. But then the presence of sin, I mean, it's right here all the time. It's right here all the time. It only takes a moment. It only takes a thought, a glance, an emotion, whatever, to get us our focus someplace else. But we have to be sober. We have to let God control our minds. Because if we don't, our minds and... you know, don't give a place there for in the pictures. The devil is right there ready. The flesh is right there ready. The world is right there ready to stir something up, to get us to not be sober, to get our attention distracted. You know, be thou my vision, we sung. When God ceases to be our vision, that's when we can lose hope. That's when the world, the flesh, and the devil can rear themselves up in our lives. Let's turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. In verse 4. Romans 15, 4. The Bible says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Sometimes we lose hope because we lose patience. We think that, this situation in our lives or somebody else's life should already be taken care of. We think maybe we should have grown farther than we should have, or we shouldn't struggle with a certain thing that we struggle with, or maybe it's with somebody else, especially in marriage. I mean, our spouses know our weaknesses for sure. And now Jesus knows our every weakness, and our spouses may not know every single thing we struggle with every single time, but yet they still know our weaknesses. That's where patience has to come in. Just like Jesus forgives us, we need to forgive others. I think it was at the Green Acres I talked about that a couple Sundays back. But just like God forgives us, we need to forgive others. But that's where the patience comes in. We know when others are impatient with us, it can have us lose hope. Like child rearing, parenting. We try to raise our children, we try to be patient with them. It doesn't always work out, but we're hoping that over time they're seeing that we can be different with this. But we want to be patient so that they don't lose hope, and it's the same thing in all of our relationships. But patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It's got to come from the Bible. It's almost so plain that it's forgettable, I guess, in some ways. I mean, we've got to the scripture all the time. Meditate there in day and night. And let's turn there to Joshua 1. Looked at this verse a couple times out at the sheriff's camp. I told those guys Thursday night, I was just honest with them, and I said, 99 out of 100 guys, this is my own personal estimate, 99 out of 100 guys that come out here to the sheriff's camp, it doesn't make a bit of difference for them. It doesn't make a bit of difference. Because I talked about a guy, what was that guy's name? Dan. Horse guy? Yeah. Dan came out there. He was there for months. And I know we mentioned him. He dealt with the horses out there, took care of them and stuff. And when he was going to get out of there, he had a job all set up. And I verified this online. He ended up in prison because he just could not stay away from the bottle. He ended up getting another DUI. And he came out there faithful. And I know Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays when we went out there, and I'm assuming other times too. But until a person decides for themselves that whatever they have an affection for sin-wise, until they realize they've got to get rid of it, we can talk and talk and talk and talk. And, I am in no way trying to say that I believe that going out there is not beneficial. I'm not saying that at all because, it's not our job to build the church. It's our job to give the word. And if people don't respond, they don't respond. That's up to them. But there's another example of how we could lose hope. I mean, how many guys does this really make a difference for? And is it really worth the time? It's worth the time if nobody comes out. If nobody changes as a result of the time we spend out there, it's worth it. And sometimes, it's been a long week and Thursday comes and need to go. I need to go. And Saturday's Brother Steve, Monday's Jeremy goes, and we appreciate your prayers for that. But even if it doesn't change anybody, and obviously there's probably people that we don't know about that it's benefiting, but still it's easy to lose hope because, you go out there, let's say I had five guys Thursday, which I'm real thankful for. But every one of those guys now knows how to be saved. And every one of those guys now knows what needs to happen to be able to live a prosperous life for God. And if that's all that happens, they become aware of it, that's great. But we can't lose hope just because they don't respond. We can't lose hope just because one guy who came out there faithfully and you thought really maybe it was going to catch on with him, If he gets out and within a matter of weeks he has another effect, we still got to go. And it's the same thing in our marriages. It's the same thing with our children. It's the same thing with our other people in the church. You know, it's the same way with the people in our lives who we prayed for years that have not gotten saved. It's the same way. It's the same way. We have to, our hope in God. We got to hope in God. But Joshua 1, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, all the time. And when we stop doing that and we start worrying about, well, what about this? And, you know, this is not going well. And, you know, boy, oh boy, I wish this was different. And, you know, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then continue on. Continue on. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, take it to the Lord in prayer. And then we need to keep going for the Lord. Keep obeying what he wants for us at that time. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You know, these guys, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, it kind of threw me off when I was talking about immorality, and the one guy's like, you mean that's wrong? That's not right? That's not okay to do? And I was like, it kind of took me back that there was that level of ignorance, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, just he didn't know, that level of ignorance about right and wrong. That's the kind of people, you know, we're dealing with. In the younger generation, that's what they've been raised on in TV, in movies, in music. That's normal. The person that actually even admits to holding to the Bible or anything, they're made a mockery of in all that kind of stuff. And what's even worse is even within contemporary Christian music, people who are fundamentalists, so to speak, they're mocked at for holding to the Bible. But the key here is that we have to have patience. Back here in Romans 15, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Whenever we lose patience, we lose hope. And whenever we lose comfort, we lose hope. But the Scripture has to provide that. The Scripture has to provide that. Now, others can comfort us. Sure, they can. Others can encourage us. Sure, they can. But that just goes to show even more about that all the comfort we try to give to others, excuse me, and all the times we try to be patient, it's got to be based in the Bible. You know, because a lot of times people try to say, well, things will get better. Well, they might not. They might actually get worse. You know, praise the Lord that Brother Miller there seems to be maybe getting a little better. But how many weeks has it been that he's been dealing with it? Long time. I remember a guy we used to go to church with. They said he was going to die. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He only was in days from dying. But he fought through. He fought through. He had a, wasn't it an abscess on his intestine or something? Something like that? And putting poison in his body is what I understood. Correct me if I'm wrong later, but they said he wasn't going to make it. But he made it. And it was a long haul back. But, you know, he got back to full strength. But that didn't happen overnight. And it's the same way with spiritual growth. It's the same way with spiritual growth. It takes time. Now, that doesn't mean we just tolerate sin in ourselves because it's going to take time. That's not what I'm talking about. But it takes time for people to grow. It takes time for people to put bad habits, excuse me, behind them and sin problems behind them. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 here. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have hope that things are going to be different. Number one, when we know the Lord, we have hope that things are going to be different here on earth. Because we know that if we have physical needs, God can take care of those. Now, He might choose not to. He might choose not to, to bring glory to Himself. But we have to realize that we're not here for ourselves. We're made for His pleasure. And we're the clay. And we need to let the potter do his do his work. But there's always hope. There's always hope. And it's not always going to be this way. Someday we're going to be free from all of our physical and spiritual and financial and any other struggles or troubles we have. But we have to look beyond this life and this life's problems and see if we truly have that hope, we're going to be pointing other people to that hope, as it says here in verse 28, whom we preach. People have hope in a lot of things, their bank accounts, their jobs. And now, where's the hope going? Government. Government's going to rescue me. We were driving back yesterday, and it was a sign out in front of somebody's house or something about put us back to work or something. You know, and I don't know if it was get us jobs or something like that. And I don't know if it was directed at the company maybe the person worked for before. Was it directed at the government? I don't know. I don't know. But a lot of people, the government's their savior now. The government's going to save them from everything. And we know that's not the case. whom we preach, warning every man. People don't want to hear a warning. People don't want to hear a warning. One guy Thursday night, I don't remember what his name was. Excuse me. He did not seem receptive, if I could put it that way. He did not really seem interested when I started talking about, you know, living a certain way is not right. You know, alcohol, you know, don't even be around people that are drinking. He could kind of tell, he just kind of had this, my interpretation was, he seemed to have a shell on, that it was like, you know, that's not true, or that doesn't matter to me. And another thing I emphasize many times out there is, if you're truly born again, you're going to see a difference. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then that's 2 Corinthians 5 there, but 1 John 2, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, or any of us are going to be perfect, but there's going to be a difference. Because for so many of those guys, all they've been told is, yeah, pray this prayer, never doubt your salvation, you're going to be all set. Well, if it never made it to the heart, it was only a mental thing. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, they didn't get saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But you know, and so you kind of challenge them a little bit. But we have to warn them. There's a wrath to come. And saying some words without believing in your heart didn't do a bit of good to save them from that wrath to come, or anybody else for that matter. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Once again, Jesus is the answer. We preach Jesus, and that we're trying to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It's all about Him. And it's all about Him with our hope. With our hope. You know, I'm not talking about temporal things. You know, school funding. That's a big deal. The legislature just passed some law this week about how public school employees are going to have to pay like 3% of their salary now. You know, so basically every public school employee is going to take a 3% pay cut next year to pay in. And I'll tell you what, emails, you know, go here, do that, call your legislature, you know. I'm like, I don't know, I don't think it's a big deal. The Lord knows if I'm going to have to pay 3% of my salary next year, and the Lord's going to meet our needs anyway. I mean, He's going to meet our needs anyway. If it was 30%, He's still going to meet our needs. Now, a few wants may have to go by the wayside, but if all our hope's in Jesus, that's okay. You know, but people are up in arms about it. You know, we're going to meet at the, we mean they're trying to get people to meet like someplace in Stanton to have a rally or something. I'm not going to be there. They said, bring your children. We'll have coloring books or whatever. I guess some of my kids still color. Maybe I should go get the coloring book. I don't know. But I mean, am I going to worry about that? You know, am I going to lose sleep over it? It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. But we've got, as the verse says here, we've got to hope in Christ. We have to hope in Him. And that goes for any of the things we're dealing with. You know, relationships with other people. The person may change, they may not change. The way we think they should change might not be the right way anyway. I don't know, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not as smart as I think I am sometimes. I'm just not. You know, relationships, husband, wife, parents, children, church members. I mean, do we really forbear with one another? Over in chapter 3, the same chapter here, or the same book, Colossians 3, excuse me, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. The same mercy that God has for us, which is immediate, complete, you know, forgiveness and mercy He shows us. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. I sat down this morning, I had a calculator. Yeah, I do math with a calculator sometimes. And I did like 60 times 60 times 24. That's like 14,400, I think. So 60 seconds in a minute, and 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours in a day. And then I did that times 365, and I did that times 18. Like, how many seconds had we been married? Well, the calculator said E. It was too big a number. You know how it does that when the thing's too big? So then I just did like days or something. It was like 6,000. You know, and then I'm thinking like how the Bible says, here this Bible, the hymnal, the song's like day by day, and I need thee every hour and moment by moment. So I'm like, wow, you know, there's a song that fits every one of these, you know, every second, every hour, every day, you know. And in those minutes and hours and days, I'm sure there has been a time or two that my wife had to forbear with me. But we need to have grace. We need to have grace one for another, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're only hurting ourselves if we are not forgiving immediately. And we're losing hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. And then verse 14, about all these things, put on charity. You know, God loves us so much that if we confess our sins, He's going to forgive us. He is going to forgive us. And it's the same way in our relationships. But then verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And that and in this context here is talking about teaching and admonishing one another. But first and foremost, we need to teach and admonish ourselves. Ourselves. So that we have the right perspective of hope. The right perspective. if we lose hope, number one, it's just flat out a sin. It's wrong. And we think, and sometimes we don't think about this, but we're not only are we hurting ourselves, we're hurting others. We're hurting our testimony. And when God's on our side, which He is, there's always hope. There's always hope. And so whatever we might be dealing with, whatever, There's all kinds of needs represented here, financial, spiritual, physical, on and on we could go. There's always hope. And let's make sure that our foundation of hope is not sinking sand, but our foundation of hope is the solid rock of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and goodness, and we do thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that indwells us and, Lord, brings to mind scripture verses that we need to maintain meditating upon you. And we do thank you, Lord, that because of your love and your goodness, we can always have hope. And we just pray, Father, to see that our hope needs to rest in you and in your word. And, Father, that we would see the importance of maintaining our hope, Lord, that you might use us to minister to others, that others might grow, that others might be saved. And once again, we do just thank you for the privilege of this to gather here today. Thank you for this church. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.